15. To his brother Mikhail. 1847. Dear brother, I must once more beg you to forgive me for not having kept my word and written by the next post, but through all the meantime I have been so depressed in spirit that I simply could not write. I have thought of you with so much pain. Your fate is truly grievous, dear brother. With your feeble health, your turn of mind, your total lack of companionship, living in one perpetual tedium, unvaried by any little festive occasions, and then the constant care about your family, care which is sweet to you, yet nevertheless weighs you down like a heavy yoke, why, your life is unbearable. But don't lose courage, brother. Better days will come. And know this, the richer we are in mind and spirit, the fairer will our life appear. It is indeed true that the dissonance and lack of equilibrium between ourselves and society is a terrible thing. External and internal things should be in equilibrium, for, lacking external experiences, those of the inward life will gain the upper hand, and that is most dangerous. The nerves and the fancy then take up too much room, as it were, in our consciousness. Every external happening seems colossal and frightens us. We begin to fear life. It is, at any rate, a blessing that nature has gifted you with powers of affection and strength of character. You have, besides, a vigorous, healthy mind, sparkles of diamond-like wit, and a happy nature. This is your salvation. I always think of you a great deal. My God, there are so many sour-faced, small-souled, narrow-minded, hoary-headed philosophers, professors of the art of existence, Pharisees, who pride themselves on their experience of life, that is to say, their lack of individuality, for they are all cut on the same pattern, and who are good for nothing at all, with their everlasting preachments about contentment with one's destiny, faith in something or other, modest demands from life, acceptance of the station one finds oneself in, and so on, never once thinking about the sense of any of those words, for their contentment is that of cloistered self-castration. They judge with unspeakably paltry animosity the vehement, ardent nature of him who refuses to accept their insipid daily task calendar of existence. Oh, how vulgar are all these preachers of the falseness of earthly joys! How vulgar, every one! Whenever I fall into their hands, I suffer the torments of hell. Here follows the description of a visitor who had enraged Dostoevsky with his vulgarities. I wish so much to see you again. Sometimes a nameless grief possesses me. I can't help thinking perpetually how moody and edgy I was when with you at Reval. I was ill then. I remember still how you once said to me that my behaviour towards you excluded all sense of equality between us. My dear brother, that was unjust. I have indeed, it is true, an evil, repellent character. But I have always ranked you above myself. I could give my life for you and yours. But even when my heart is warm with love, people often can't get so much as one friendly word out of me. At such times I have lost control of my nerves. I appear ludicrous, repellent, and have to suffer inexpressibly from the misunderstanding of my fellow creatures. People call me arid and heartless. How often have I been rude to Emily Fyodorovna, your wife, who is 1,000 times my superior? I remember, too, that frequently I was cross with your son, Fedya, for no reason at all, though at the very time I loved him perhaps even more than I loved you. I can show myself to be a man of feeling and humour only when external circumstances lift me high above the external daily round. When that is not my state, I am always repellent. I account for these disparities by my malady. Have you read Lucrezia Floriani? Take a look at The King, too. But soon you'll be able to read my Nietichka Nizvanova. That story, like Goliadkin, will be a self-confession, though in a different tone. About Goliadkin, I often happen to hear such expressions of opinion that I get quite frightened. Many say that it is a veritable, as yet uncomprehended, marvel, that it will have enormous significance in the future, and that by itself alone it is enough to make me famous. Some think it more exciting than Dumas. Now I'm beginning again to praise myself. But it is so delightful, brother, to be rightly understood. For what actually do you love me so much? I'll see to it that somehow we meet again very soon. Won't we love one another, that's all. Wish me success. I am now working at The Mistress of the Inn. It is getting on more easily than poor folk did. The story is in the same manner. A flow of inspiration which comes from my inmost soul is guiding my pen. It is quite different from what it was with Prohartchin, from which I suffered the whole summer through. How I wish I could soon help you, brother. Depend, as on a rock, on the money that I promised you. Kiss all your dear ones for me. In the meantime, I am, by Dostoevsky.